let's talk about these Bulls. Yeah. There is some joy in Bullsville, Casey Jones. So everybody is, it's awesome time right now. Of course, we have a whole new front office, you know, with Arturas and Mark Eversley. And then the big piece was put into play when the Bulls hired head coach Billy Donovan. Kev, how surprised were you that the Bulls got Billy Donovan? Because I don't remember him being on a lot of people's list.
Right. And he wasn't, because most observers of the team didn't expect that they would pay top dollar for a big name head coach.
Right.
I mean, their approach in the last 25 years to hire a college coach or a lead assistant on a team and have somebody be a first time head coach. And that obviously worked out with Tom Thibodeau. That worked out with Tibbs very well. And they really came one knee injury away from winning the NBA title.
Yeah.
But it hasn't worked out since then, right? And hasn't obviously worked out recently. And I think I was surprised that Billy Donovan was even on their radar and that they got the green light from Michael and Jerry to pursue him and sell him on the Bulls and sign him to a, obviously, a lucrative. They signed him to, according to Shams, a 4-year, $24 million deal. I mean, yeah. That's a top dollar. You're paying a lot of money for a coach. So I was surprised by that. And that's not to say if they would have felt like someone else was the better choice, like Wes Unseld Jr., mm-hmm. that it would have been a bad fit, because quite frankly, I have complete faith and confidence that whatever direction AK and Eversley felt like they wanted to go, there's no reason for me to doubt them at this point. And certainly when it came to Unseld, with the relationship that Karnišovas already had with him in Denver, that if he would have felt like this is the right guy for this moment, I'm all in. Absolutely. But the fact that they got a coach with a proven track history of winning and developing a winning culture, and at the NBA and the college level, certainly, is absolutely fantastic. And what is so encouraging is not only that he's gone to the playoffs 5 years in a row with Oklahoma City, and that he had dynasty in Gainesville. It's hearing his former players that he's coached speak so highly of him and come out and say, like Joakim Noah, come out and say these amazing great things of what great coach Billy Donovan is, and how he holds people accountable, and just all these things that you want in a head coach. And certainly the culture aspect cannot be understated enough.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Donovan wins. He absolutely wins. And do I know if Billy Donovan is the right coach to win a title with the Bulls? No, I don't know that. Mm-hmm. But I damn well know he's the right coach for this team right now, mm-hmm. and that he is going to take what they have been and transform them into a consistent playoff team very soon. I mean, I absolutely believe that 100%.
Completely agree.
Yeah, it's amazing, because looking at his record, of course, you know, he's always above 500, mm-hmm. and he's in the West. But I want to know, you know, it's funny. I listened to some interviews he's done since he, you know, gotten hired, and the buy-in to being really involved, you know, into, you know, rebuilding sort of, you know, from a blank canvas, really kind of is what sold him to come to Chicago.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you think he means by blank canvas with Chicago?
What's interesting about when he took over in Oklahoma City is they were already a perennial playoff team.
Sure, yeah.
Coach, right? And so
had already been to a finals, yeah.
Already been to the finals, and you go into that environment, and essentially everything, the culture, the norms, the way things are done have already been established in Oklahoma City when he took over as head coach. He obviously came to a very good situation in the course of his 5 years. He had some very different teams. In fact, his best coaching performance was this past team. How he took that team to the playoffs and the performance they had in the bubble in Orlando is absolutely staggering to me. Mm-hmm. When most people, including myself, thought they had no chance of making the postseason at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, come on. Like, he was like, all right, we've got a over-the-hill Chris Paul. right. coming in with a bunch of nobodies, but he took that team and it worked. And so what Donovan said to Casey Johnson, because Casey asked him this question, is Donovan said that with the fresh front office and the fresh start, that he was going to come in and be a partner with the front office. Mm. He wasn't going to be a coach. He wasn't going to be a player manager. He was going to be a partner with AK and with Eversley. And because they obviously, it's been a very weird time in the last 6 months in this country and in the NBA world. But there go, the three of them are now going to come in and completely shape this team, this organization, how they best see fit. Mm-hmm. From a roster standpoint, from a workout standpoint, from a culture standpoint, and what the expectations are on a daily basis, the three of them are going to completely shape how this team and this organization does for the next 10 years based on what they establish now. And so what Donovan meant by that is he has a chance to come in, and even though a lot of people were surprised that he would choose a rebuilding team, the difference is, unlike in Oklahoma City where he came in with an already established front office, an already established ownership group that, you know, everything was handed to him and say, you go be the head coach. He comes into this and it's fresh and he can establish all those things as a partner with Karnišovas and Eversley.
And I also think that says a lot about AK and Mark and their ability to sell the team. Yes. And their ability to communicate properly what they're looking for. And like, cause I like how Billy Donovan told the story of he was took a 17-hour drive home.
Yeah.
And like when he gets there, AK's on the phone, like, yeah, you want to interview
tonight?
He's like, dude, right. He's like, dude, I just did a 17-hour. Right. I took a 17-hour drive. Can I get the weekend? Like, all right. And then I like the fact it's always AK and Mark who show up, and they said they had a 5.5-hour interview. They sit there and they broke everything down. So I think that makes me even more comfortable with AK and Mark and just their salesmanship, because that was one of the things I was really high on when he got Mark Eversley, is Mark Eversley. People talk about his relationships and even when he was working at Nike and how he was able to, you know, cultivate and build those relationships with people, you know, and just have that. I was very excited about that. But let me say, I wasn't over the moon when they got Billy Donovan. Because I like Billy. Everything you said, Kev, is a fact. It is a complete fact. The dude wins. He's been in the playoffs all 5 years. His teams are well coached. I mean, even last year, like we said, with Chris Paul and everything, like they're a phenomenal team. And he's a great coach. I just have always had an issue with his adjustments. He's never been a guy that adjusted. He would just stick with what is and just roll with that. And that's always been my main issue with Billy Donovan. But at the same time, I'm not mad at all. And even more so, as I keep saying, whoever AK and Mark pick, I'm with. It didn't matter who they picked to me. And if they said that this is the coach, then that's the coach. So I'm on board with it. I'm with it. I'm totally 100% with Billy Donovan being the coach of this team. And it's very exciting because it puts us on the radar. Because now watching him here, I turn on ESPN and they have to talk about us, you know, and I turn on these sports networks. And I'm watching PTI and they have to have a segment that, dude, Billy Donovan is the coach of the Chicago Bulls, when nobody else thought that was going to be the case. And here's a question I want to ask you, though. What does it say that when he said the statement, there's too much talent here, you know what I'm saying, like for them to perform the way they have over the past two seasons? That doesn't sound like they're in a rebuild mode. It sounds like they're ready to win. Is that what it sounds like to you?
So there, I took when Karnišovas said that, I took a couple things away from it. Number one is, in his evaluation of watching game film and talking with players and just seeing the talent they have on this team, he clearly felt very strongly that they should have won more games than they won.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, is part of it, is he speaking to the injuries maybe? And don't forget, when you said they have a new front office and new coach, they also have a new training staff.
Yes.
Cannot be forgotten.
Oh, it won't be. It won't be forgotten. It will not.
Certainly that is part of it, right? Like about the training staff and, you know, hopefully not being as injured as they seem to be every single season. Mm-hmm. But it also speaks to me that he felt like that they should have gotten more out of the players who were healthy, and they should have won more games out of the players who were on the floor. And I think that they believe that they have talent on this roster, good young talent that has a ton of potential that weren't utilized in the best way that they should have been the last two seasons. Mm-hmm. And so I think in part of what's interesting about what they said about the conversation they had in Florida during that 5.5 hour interview with Donovan is they said that they targeted Donovan pretty early on in the process, that he was their top choice, right? Mm-hmm. And then they got the green light from Reinsdorf to go down and pursue him. And that they spent that 5.5 hours selling Donovan on why he should be the next head coach of the Bulls. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure as part of that conversation, they asked Billy for his evaluation of a couple players on the roster. And to Billy's defense, it's not like he had a couple weeks to prepare for this interview. So it's not like he was coming in with a binder full of notes from game film he had watched, right? But he probably had pretty strong ideas of what he saw from the Bulls, both from a defensive standpoint and an offensive standpoint, and how they were using certain schemes, and felt like, here's what I would do with Wendell Carter. Here's what I would do with Lauri Markkanen. And so you know that conversation happened, and I'm sure that AK and Eversley liked what they heard in that aspect of it. But I'm not ready to say that the Bulls are going to win 45 games next season. Because quite frankly, we don't know what the roster is going to look like. They, you know, they could come in and do a major shakeup, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not necessarily just going to be the fourth overall pick and a couple veteran free agents that they're going to sign using the mid-level and then have at it next season. Mm-hmm. They could come in and make a significant trade. They could trade one of their core four players, right? Mm-hmm. If they deem that's appropriate in their evaluation. So, let me see what the roster looks like on opening night, and I'll give you a better prediction of how good I think they can be. But you are absolutely right that they felt like this team was much better than the win total they've shown the last 2 years.
Yeah, I like what you said, Kevin, because, you know, when I hear Blaine Slate and I hear AK kind of, you know, speaking those tones, and I think they are more willing to readjust the roster than I guess most people. You know, these are the players they drafted. It's talent is there, but I still think like they are totally willing to just gut the roster and make the team, you know, into players, you know, they drafted into what they wanted to be. And I think it's refreshing, Dave, you touched upon this, is that we know we have a front office that can say the right things to people, to get people in Chicago, right? Yeah. Not only that, we have a coach people respect that can say the right things to get people to come to Chicago to play and coach as well. I like that. I'm like that. They say things. They got Billy, like you said, they sold Billy Donovan on his job, you know, easily, quite quickly, right? Everyone, like, as far as we know, Billy Donovan gets along with a lot of people in the NBA, you know, good reputation. You have, like, this three-headed monster who are able to recruit and say the right things to get people into the Bulls organization and get players and get draft picks, unlike what we had before. With Billy the Bull going to the airport and all that kind of crap.
Okay. So Brady's not coming here because Benny the Bull picked him up.
Right. AK ain't doing that, you know. So yeah, I'm willing to bet that they are very willing to make some trades and really rebuild the roster.
I don't think you bring in Billy Donovan right now to say I'm not trying to win now. Or trying to, you know, move that team forward. You know, and again, Kev, like you said, I'm not ready to commit to a 45-win team because, like you said, we don't know the roster or anything like that. But I just like the move because, for me, it doesn't say, oh, we're going to – if we don't do anything this year, it'll be okay. If we just increase our win totals by a little bit, you know, and get in the draft, then we'll be okay. It doesn't say that to me at all. It says, nope, we're talented enough, we got talent, and we're going to just get the right coach in here. And we expect to win some basketball games. So
that's interesting. So I think the opposite. So you kind of more.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you do that. You wouldn't spend $6 million. You know what I mean? True. To just not win.
And the reason why I don't know number one, we don't have an all-star on the team, right? You know, we don't even have an all-star.
We got a borderline one.
We're not even pushing a superstar. So right away, I'm going, okay, Bill Donovan can make the team a little better, but they're not winning anything with this roster. Unless, you know, like, you know, our boy Lowry. And Levine becomes, I don't know who he becomes, pick a shooting guard, you know, and becomes an all-star. And, you know, are they going to improve with this roster and 15 wins? I don't know, man. I seriously doubt that. You know, but it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, we want to see that potential that we think is there that was not – that Bulls did not get out, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the first year is to fill out, you know, how good are these guys really with a good coach, you know, and a good training staff. And then if they are slightly better, trust me, I think they're willing to part ways with some guys.
Okay.
So here's my opinion on why they made this move now and not next summer, or that they would have waited to give Boylan another audition, if you will, and then had an interim coach and then hired another full coach or full-time head coach next year. I think they are looking, in terms from a roster standpoint, of completely reshaping the roster next offseason. We know that they're going to have a significant amount of cap space. The exact amount, we don't know yet because, quite frankly, the financials of the league are a complete mess and everything's really in turmoil from a business standpoint with the NBA right now. Yeah. But we know they're going to have significant roster flexibility in the next offseason, which, quite frankly, may end up being next fall instead of next summer, but whatever that may be. And I think they made this move now because they wanted to establish that winning culture, even if it doesn't mean winning as in a 42 wins over 500 record, right? It just means completely changing the culture of the last 5 years with this team, which quite frankly had to be changed.
Yes.
And from every aspect of the organization. And that's what they've done. I think they brought in Billy because they wanted to establish immediately what this organization was going to be like so that they would be in very good position to court a top free agent next summer. Mm-hmm. You can't do those things if you're hiring a head coach who's never coached a game for your team, and then 3 weeks later he's meeting with this free agent, right? Like, it's just – it's not as impactful that way. But if you have an entire season in Billy Donovan as your coach and you can see tangible changes to the team and how they're performed and quite frankly, what the rest of the league feels, what the other players in the league feel about this team, right? Like, I guarantee you we're not going to have players walk off the court this upcoming season clowning the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, or announcers.
There aren't going to be players walking off the court at the United Center next year talking trash to the Bulls players because of what has happened to the team, right? That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so I think they wanted a full year of Donovan and really, quite frankly, with everybody else in the organization to get used to everything, what they want to establish, so that when they're ready, everything's in place. Here's the reason, Giannis, why we think you are the final piece that is going to make us a championship team here in Chicago, right? Whatever it might be. I think you do that now as opposed to going through and hiring, you know, hypothetically a year from now, which it wouldn't happen because he'd be signed somebody else. But you wouldn't hire Billy in 3 weeks later, tell Giannis, come here, here's what we're going to do.
Right, right.
And especially since they offer him, you know, such a, you know, a weight in decision making, not only on the court, but off the court.
Yeah, right? Both.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. So, Kev, let me ask, is this it for Lauri Markkanen? Is this Lowry's final year to show and prove with the Chicago Bulls before people just toss him aside?
For the Bulls, yes, 100%. Right? Like, it's certainly not his last chance in the league.
Right.
Players, especially of his talent and ability, go to different situations and flourish. But this is his last chance with the Bulls. He's eligible for a rookie contract extension before the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
I would be shocked if the Bulls offer anything that he would accept. Let me put it that way. So I think he's going to essentially go into this season with the expectation they'll be a restricted free agent after the year, and then we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's certainly, I mean, he is such a frustrating player as a fan to watch, because we've seen these stretches of absolute brilliance where you think he's the next Kristaps, right? Or quite frankly, it could be better than Porzingis. And you then get these stretches in which he completely has disappeared. And mm-hmm. It's not all on the coaches. Like, it's not all on how he was used by Boylan. He, quite frankly, whether it's a confidence standpoint or a mechanics standpoint, was a really bad shooter for most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he should have been more aggressive, more assertive, and looking for a shot and getting involved in the offense. And that certainly falls on the coach too. So there's a mix there, but you're absolutely right. This is his last chance for the Chicago Bulls, right? If he can't thrive in the system. Now, I believe that Donovan, AK, and Eversley see the potential in Markkanen. Right. I think they truly believe that he has all-star potential. And given his skill set, his ability to shoot the three, his athleticism, and really his all-around offensive game, that he can be an all-star in his career. But it needs to be in the right system with the right coach and the right players around him to have that happen. Like, Markkanen to me is not a guy like a James Harden that you put on any team and he's an all-star wherever he goes.
Right, correct.
Mm-hmm. Markkanen is only an all-star in the right situation. Now, that's not a complete knock on Markkanen, but he will thrive when the right players are put around him in the right system.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope for his sake and for our sake, that is what we get out of this team whenever we play basketball again.
Yeah, and for me, he's in the Jay Cutler position for me. Whereas I was a huge Jay Cutler fan when he got here. I was riding for Jay Cutler because I saw all the things that he did not have around him. And then when they gave him everything, then when they gave him his best friend as receiver, then they drafted another Brandon Marshall. Then they gave him a tight end that he needed. Then they gave him the offensive line he needed. Then they gave him the center that he wanted. Then they gave him the coach that he wanted. Then they gave him the coordinator that he wanted. Then they gave him the contract that he wanted, and he still was the same player. That's kind of the position I'm in with Lloyd Markkanen. Because, you know, okay, I'll be riding for Lloyd Markkanen. I'm going to keep riding for him.
Yeah.
But for me, that's why this year is it. Because everything I've complained about him not having, he now has. I was like, nope, the coaching – was terrible. They didn't build a system around him. You don't go from being that good to that terrible, you know what I'm saying, in 1 year. That can't all be on you. Shot mechanics, you know, whether it's confidence, any of that stuff. All that stuff has to be kind of built around him, like you just said. So they gave him everything. You got you a new front office in there. You got you a coach, you know what I'm saying, that is familiar with your style of play because he also played ball overseas. So I'm sorry, you got a front office man who also played ball overseas. Mm-hmm. So he understands, you know what I'm saying, your style of play. You get you a coach in there that recognizes your potential. You got a GM that recognizes your potential and wants, you know, to be better and kind of build around you and, you know, let you be this person and not just a pick and pop dude like your Luke Kornet or something. So
you mean Robert Horry?
Well, excuse me. Oh, don't want to disrespect. But you got all this stuff now. So now everything is around you. So now the only thing you have to do is perform. That's it. It's now on you. So now everything's been handed to him. Everything's been given to him. And now it's on you. So I'm looking for a year from my guy. And I expect my guy to have that kind of year, man. And I know Chris does not agree with me at all.
What? I agree with you 100%. What are you talking
about?
You
hate Lowry. You can't
stand
Lowry.
Stop. You know he's going to wear. You know damn well I don't hear Lowry.
Go punch him in the face. You can't stand Lowry.
Stop, Dave. Stop. Oh, don't hate him. Don't do this. No.
They want to stab him in his sleep.
But I think Kev hit a good point, man. They stopped your lies. There is a financial incentive, right, from the play well. And we all know that means a lot in the NBA. So. Yeah. And that's pressure on him. And so far under pressure, he hasn't performed quite well, you know. But that is a the financial pressure on him, so to speak.
So it's great going forward. Raise your quarterback analogy to a different Bears quarterback. He's Mitch Trubisky.
Oh,
Mark and Mitch Trubisky. And the reason I say that is that, and what's very odd about their career paths happening simultaneously, they've followed the same path so far. Okay. In that you've got a rookie season in which you've seen flashes, you see improvement in year two, and then you saw a massive step back in year three. This like this regression that the expectation in year three from both players is that they would improve and take another leap, another step up, and both took massive step backs in year three.
Yeah.
And so now you've got Trubisky two games into his fourth season, and Mark and obviously his fourth season is still a couple months away, but you've got this last chance feeling around both guys. Like, we both know that for Trubisky, if he doesn't perform this year, this is it. You will never see him in a Bears uniform again. And it's very similar feeling to Markkanen. And I just think that given the right opportunity, he – sorry, just ate something and got something in my throat. He can be a great player.
He can. He could definitely be that
great player. It's funny, though. I think you're right, of course, in that aspect. But, of course, with Mitch is always the – who I could have had with Mitch. You know. That's a big heavyweight, you know, in my heart right there. But yeah, I think you're another special argument. I think you're right.
Yeah, the Trubisky thing. I mean, every time you see Watson and Mahomes play, it's like, come on,
come on, you get this right.
We didn't have that with Markkanen. It's not like Markkanen was the second pick.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You had an amazing player right after.
Exactly. So let me ask you about the draft. Bulls have number four pick.
Yeah,
draft, which is very exciting because it's not number seven. So looking at the draft, and it's not a necessarily heavy draft, but of course there's some talent. So who do you see as the Bulls fit at the number four? Who do you think the Bulls should be going after?
Well, it's tough because you know, and I've looked at a lot of film from these guys, and there are quite frankly 10 different players that I could see the Bulls taking with the fourth overall pick. Right, this is not a draft in which there is a consensus number one, or quite frankly, even a consensus top two picks. I mean, a lot of people certainly think that some combination of Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball and James Wiseman will go 1, 2, 3, which I think will probably end up being the top three players taken.
Right.
But there's no perfect prospect in this draft. Like, there's no Ja, there's no Zion. You know, these guys all have massive flaws alongside massive opportunity and ceilings and talent, and it becomes and what's also unusual about this draft that I can't remember a draft that has had so many guys in the top 10 who never played American college. Right, like there just seems to be, whether it's because of the guys playing overseas like LaMelo or Hayes or Avdija, there just seems to be a ton of international prospects that not a lot of people have gotten a chance to see play in person. I mean, quite frankly, like when it comes to Ball, like I really question the quality of competition that Ball was playing against all season long in Australia. And so, like there are a lot of things I like about certain players' games, and there's a lot of holes in their games too. Like getting back to Ball, LaMelo has this absolutely elite ability to read the floor and run an offense. Yeah. Like his passing ability is like up there with like LeBron James, right? It's up there with like some of the Jason Kidd, if you will, in terms of what he's shown thus far. But his jump shot is, wow. I mean, does it have holes in it? I mean, he gets nearly zero lift on his jump shot, which is really unusual for a guard. His form needs a lot of work, and I'm quite frankly think that they need to completely retool his shot if he's going to be a even competent NBA 3-point shooter in the league. But he also does these things. He's a solid defender. He's absolutely elite ball handler, and so like there's a lot to love about Ball, along with some things that really concern you about you know, what his potential in the league is. And so like every player has got those things. Like getting to Denny Avdija, he's got some, like, also running an offense, passing ability. He's got a really good length at his size, at 6'9". I'm not sure where his fit is in the NBA because he's not a good shooter at all. Like his a huge red flag for anyone that's supposed to be a good shooter is your free throw percentage. And Avdija is in the mid 50s for free throws. That's a big red flag for me. Not to mention, you know, obviously not being a very good perimeter shooter as it is, but at the same time, he's got good vision and he can seemingly run an offense pretty well. And he's really good getting down up and down the floor. And so Avdija is intriguing in that aspect of it, but where does he fit at 6'9" and being a poor shooter? He's not really a small forward. He's a little bit undersized to play the four, but in the right lineup, he could probably excel at the four spot, but that wouldn't really make sense for the Bulls now, unless you're, you know, don't feel like Markkanen's a good fit in the future. But at the same time, we see a lot of positionless basketball, and getting back to Billy Donovan, he ran 3-point guards simultaneously at times for Oklahoma City this past year, and it worked out in stretches for him. So I don't think necessarily you could say, well, he's not going to work because he's a power forward and he needs to handle the ball. It needs to be the right fit. But there are holes in Avdija's game. Mm-hmm. And then there are other guys that, like Tyrese Haliburton, is really intriguing to me, the point guard of Iowa State. And a lot of people hear Iowa State and they're like, oh, no, stay away, right?
Yeah, Chris likes him too, yeah.
Like the stuff I've seen of Haliburton, like, wow. Like he's got a ton of potential in this league. I like his shot. I like his playmaking. I like his defending. And then you've got other guys who, like Killian Hayes, is kind of a little bit like LaMelo in that he's got a ton of potential, but his shot isn't quite there. And like somebody I respect on Twitter, and I forget who exactly it was, made the comp of Killian Hayes can be a great player. But he just needs to get like he's Jamal Murray without the jump shot, right? So, yeah, like oh, that I could see that a little bit. But what's he going to grow into? And so, mm-hmm. got a lot of these guys being 19 and 20, it's so hard to project against limited competition. I mean, James Wiseman played like 3 games, right?
So, right. Yeah.
Like how can you really like Wiseman's got a lot to love about his athletic ability, and his game, but is in today's NBA. If you can't hit a perimeter shot, what role do you have on a team?
True. What about a guy named Anthony Edwards? Have you looked at him?
Yeah, Edwards, obviously, a lot of people have him as potential top pick. He's certainly got a lot of ability.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you mentioned that all the players you mentioned had a big weakness. He doesn't really have a big weakness. He's kind of like good everywhere. Am I right or wrong?
I think, unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be there at 4. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's the tough spot when you're picking 4th is do you keep that pick? Do you try and trade down? Like, honestly, I would try and trade down if I were Bulls and maybe get Haliburton a little bit later, or Okoro a little bit later. But you look at the first round and there's no one that really makes sense to trade down with at the same time. And given that it is a weak overall draft, what kind of assets are you going to get in return for trading down to like 8 or 9 mm-hmm. with like the Knicks or the Wizards in that spot? Like you need to make sense to make a trade. So, but no, like to your point about Edwards and Ball are probably the two best prospects right now in the draft. But yeah, everybody's got flaws and there's no one they pick at 4 unless it's one of those two guys that I'm going to be like, all right, this guy's a for sure all-star, because there's everybody's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, that's true. I will say, of all the tale, everybody I watched, Denny was the one that leapt out at me the most. Just by what you mentioned, you know, his vision, his passing was crazy, but I loved the way he ran the floor, and I loved his basketball IQ. It's really high for somebody, you know, at that age right now. And his shooting, I don't know why, it doesn't bother me. Because he's a gym rat and he's insane. 19. Yeah, and he's insane and he's 19 years old. And I think of guys like Marcus Smart who couldn't hit the, you know, broadside of a barn, as they would say. And now he's actually really good 3-point shooter. Or even, you know, you could throw Jason Kidd in there too if you want. But it's not like he can't learn, you know, to be a good shooter. in the NBA, especially in this league.
Yeah, Dave, and we talked about, you know, his mentality is what really
gets me. He's insane. Yeah,
he's insane. I love it. And also, because in the video that I watched of him, I didn't see him take a lot of shots off the dribble. You know, to the point, you know, that's why, you know, shooting probably is not as high because he probably is not a good shooter, so he doesn't take, you know, the ball, the dribble too often, which is something I would like to see. But his mentality, based on what I've read in articles about him going to the crowd, raising a baby up in the game, and just being, he did it twice, one shirtless or something, and he just seems crazy. So that having that mentality and love for the game, I think, you know, to your point, Dave, you know, he will find a way to be an effective shooter on the floor. Because the other skills he has, like you said, running the break, he can tell. He sees the floor and reads the floor very well. Yeah. He's pretty athletic. And defensively, I've seen him make block shots where it's like, okay, he knows how to play defense, get position to block a shot. He sees stuff in like a little second ahead. You know, there may be other players on the floor. So, yeah, he reads the floor well. But the mentality that I think, so far I've read and heard, I think is going to really like advance him and help him get better at the weaknesses.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, like if they ran a lineup that had Zach, Kobe, and Abdia in it on the floor at the same time, that's a really intriguing lineup to me. And I don't care what position you call Abdia playing in. I actually think if the Bulls use Zach LaVine a little bit more like the Warriors use Klay Thompson, where there's a lot more off the ball action and setting screens, because Zach is an elite catch and shoot shooter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like he just, because he was so ball dominant with the team and for most of last season, there was just no playmaking guard near him. I would love to see LaVine play more off the ball and get some catch and shoot shots out there, because I think he could even step up another 3 or 4 points a game in an offense that catered to that.
Yeah.
And Denny offers you, of course, another ball handler, right? He's not a point guard, but he could make plays off the dribble at times. It was just always, to me, I love that on the floor when I see guys take the ball off the dribble, make a play for someone else.
Yeah, it's great. Let me ask you about one guy, Kev, and that's Obi Toppin. I hear him discussed a lot. Yeah, a lot of people love him. A lot of people don't love him. He's kind of polarizing in that way. What are your feelings on Obi Toppin when you watch his game?
So Toppin is a guy, again, where he wasn't playing against high-level competition, and that is a little concern for me. But at the same time, he obviously was the best player on the floor most of the time that he was out there. Certainly – You have guys come out of mid-majors in Dayton, and they can be fine and have great NBA careers. What I really love about him is, his length is outstanding. Apparently, his wingspan is over 7 feet, which is absolutely fantastic. He's 6'9", which he's got a great shot. My concern with Toppin and really any of the bigs in this draft is, where do they really fit on this Bulls roster? Now, that's not to say you absolutely have to take the player who's got the highest potential. Like on a team that's won 20 games, 22 games, back-to-back seasons, there is no, well, we're not going to take him because we already have an established player at that position, right? Like if you feel like the best player in the draft at 4 is a power forward or a center, then you take that player and you just find a way to work around Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen and Daniel Gafford and you do that. But there is a slight concern about where he might be with the Bulls. Toppin, to me is obviously really good athlete, really good size. I'd be like, I'm not blown away by him, by some other people are. I think he could develop, and like honestly when it comes down to most like scouting, I think the background information and the work ethic and the interview is just as important of what you get out of the combine and what you see on film.
Yeah,
because if you have a player that is Jimmy Butler-esque in his work ethic, mm-hmm. and you know that he is going to absolutely grind and work at it, and he's got this potential in certain areas, then I want that guy. If you've got the guy who's got amazing attributes and skill sets, but yet isn't willing to work at it, you talk to his teammates, you talk to his assistant coaches on the teams he's been, and this guy, yeah, he shows up, he puts his work in, really good athlete, but he leaves as soon as practice is over, gets there 5 minutes before practice is scheduled to start. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a red flag to me, and then that's an issue. Mm-hmm. So really with anybody, if Toppin's that guy, I'm on board with it. So Toppin is – he doesn't blow me away in what I've seen from him, but it's also – there's no, like, major red flags with him that I'm saying he's going to be a bust. Like, there's a lot of guys who have significant red flags, and he doesn't have any that I'm going to say is going to be a major, major detriment to his potential career. I mean, he looks like he's even going to be a decent shooter.
Yeah, he seems like a player to me. Like, he will surprise you. Like, he's gonna come out and be like, "I got a 3-point shot. You didn't know it? Like, I got one now." Yeah. Yep. I hope that happens with him, because everything else is like dope. Yeah,
he shot a pretty high percentage in college, you know, from three. But I don't know how many he took, but he did shoot a percentage.
He probably didn't have to take a lot of threes in college, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Right. That's what I mean. Like, because when I saw him play, like, all I thought was Amari Stoudemire. Like, when I would watch his game, and
him and Amari Stoudemire had a baby together. Him and Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, right. And Martin had right.
Well, and I tell you one thing that doesn't bother me. Him being 22 doesn't bother me at all. There's this infatuation with a lot of scouting and people making opinions about the draft that you have to take a 19 or 20 year old now to have them develop. Yeah. Like, I don't mind the Taj Gibson types who are a little bit more ready to play. Mm-hmm. Who can come in and make an impact in the rotation right away. As long as they've developed good habits, good practice habits, good workout habits, then that's more important to me than having a guy at 19 that you can, like, grow with more so than 22.
That's awesome. All right, Kev, I'm going to get you get out of here. But before you go, you have to give me one Bulls meathead prediction. I want one Bulls meathead prediction from you, sir.
Wow, that's it. Could be about any player, any
player, anything Bulls related, with the team or whatever. But I want one Bulls meathead prediction from you.
Kobe White will be a multiple times All Star in his career.
Oh yeah, that's me, heady.
I agree. I feel the same way. Oh yo, I feel like he's gonna come out and he's gonna kill it.
It's not crazy. Wow. You know what I'm saying? It's not crazy. You know, it's not insane to think that, because, like, as you just spoke of, Kev, that work ethic. You know, like, he wants it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wants it, man.
He's got the skills, man. Like, the microwave aspect of what he can do out there in spurts. Yeah. But he's got the skill set, he's got the athleticism, he's got the size, and he's got the work ethic. He's put, like, all of those things together, and, like, his ceiling, you know, I don't know if he's going to be a superstar, quote superstar, like a top 10 player in the league, but he is going to be a multiple times All-Star.
Ben Gordon with handles. Can I get that?
Yeah. Cool. I like that. Ben Gordon, that little bit more size, right? You know, hopefully a little bit better defender.
You just missed Ben Gordon, you're going to get an from David anything. Ben Gordon with potatoes. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
It does, man.
Hey, yo. Kev, real quick, who's going to win? You're a Lakers fan? Who's going to win the championship? Are you down for the Lakers?
I honestly, at this point, I'm rooting for Jimmy Butler and the Heat, right? Obviously close out Boston, but at the same time, like, it'd be a really good story for Jimmy and that team, and a great, like, FU from Pat Riley to LeBron.
I didn't even think of that. You are absolutely right.
You're right.
That never crossed my mind.
Oh, yeah. I don't think for a second Pat Riley doesn't badly want to beat LeBron in the Lakers. So I'm rooting for Miami. But if Anthony Davis can stay healthy, and obviously the ankle is a little bit of an issue right now, but if he can stay healthy, it's going to be really tough for anybody to beat LA.
Seriously.
I don't want to see Miami at Lakers, man. Miami's going to – they don't have any superstars. In the finals, any superstars, they're going to get beat in the finals.
They're going to get smashed.
They'll put up a good fight, but they're going to get beat by
Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
I want the Lakers, like the Celtics. I want the new, you know, the old cover for NBA Live.
Lakers versus Celtics, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. right, baby. Bring it back.
Kev, you almost swayed me right there because I never thought of that aspect. I would like to see that. Like a Pat Riley screw you aspect. Oh, man. That's a
good one. And also what would be really cool about Miami winning it is you would have for the second straight year a team win the title that has a roster built of guys outside the lottery. Toronto, I think, and I remember I looked it up last year after they won, they didn't have a single player on that roster who was a top 14 pick.
Mm. Wow.
The Heat are obviously a little similar in that regard with Jimmy Butler.
Right.
And certainly people overlooking Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. Yes. Yeah. And Bam. Mm. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I appreciate a roster of guys who are self-made rather than a team that's got two number one overall picks on it and two superstars.
Mm. They ain't got Kawhi, though.
They ain't got that dude
in that team.
I picked Boston to win anyway before this all started, so I got to stick with my pick. I got to roll with Boston.
Man. They should win. Their best game is better than Miami's. I don't know how they held that through down three. They were down three.
Miami's tough, man.
I agree. We talked about this. You thought it would be a little easier for Boston. I knew it would be tough for Boston. Miami's a good team. Because they all around, everybody on the roster could, like, switch and athletic and could do better multiple things. But end of the day, you have that talent on Boston. You should be able to beat, you know, Miami in seven or something like that. It should be down 3-1. And they proved yesterday, like, our best game is better than Miami's best game. So
yeah, shout out to Miami though in Spoelstra and what they're doing.
Yes, sir, man. Hell of a coach, man.
Man, hell of a coach.
Jimmy too, man. Jimmy, you know.
Yeah, shout out Jimmy Butler. Yeah,
bring it all time, Dave, man. Every time we always try to, you know, we know
every
we're
time
be more impressed.
Every time we set a barrier for him and he just knocks him down every single time. Great job.
I don't know. We do it on purpose, by the way. You know.
Oh yeah.
I love it. You can knock it down.
I love it, man. Man, that was Kevin Anderson joining us on our show, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. Like we said, you can check us out on our website, ballsports.com. We're on anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you listen to podcasts on your stove, I guarantee you we're on there.
you can, by the way.
We're there. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, at ballsports and at ballsports1. And we're also on Instagram, at ballsports. Chris.
Yes, ballsports.com, BAWLsports.com is the website. You can check out the podcast there and also donate a buck or two. Of course, Kev and the other super fans out there that give it a buck or two. You know, thank you very much. And just spread the word about the podcast. And Kev, awesome to have you on the show, man. I heard about you a lot, met you once. You're doing big things.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the time, man. It's always fun talking to Big Dave.
Follow him on Twitter at Kevin_NBCS. Kev, I love you. I appreciate you. And thank you, man. Thanks for doing
it.
Let's do it again, baby. That's Kevin Anderson. That's my man, Chris, a.k.a. C-Dub. I'm Big Dave. We out, y'all. See you next time. Peace.
Peace.